Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, dear friends, within our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we often talk about the law and the gospel. Well, what that kind of means is for us, we get the bad news first, right? And you know the bad news. You turn on your TV set or bring up your computer and your internet page, and the first thing you see is a lot of bad news. We live in a sinful world. There are a lot of things going wrong. And it's not just the exception, but it is, in fact, the rule, isn't it? There are bad and evil things happening every single day. The Bible tells us that was never God's intention. In fact, we know that God created and formed the universe. Everything that he made was good. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that it is through Christ all things were made. You know, God spoke the word through Jesus our Savior. Everything that we know came to be. But what is the problem then? That God made this wonderful, self-sustaining world. The Bible also says that it was because of sin that death entered the world. Right, before sin, there was no death. Everything was self-sustaining, a beautiful system created by God. What happened? But it was sin, wasn't it? Adam and Eve committed sin, and so then God came and told them the consequences, right? You know, things are going to start falling apart. In the laws of physics, we have what's known as the second law of thermodynamics, right? Well, thermal is just kind of heat, and it's kind of then, you know, in physics, how objects respond to heat, and in that science, we come to learn that everything will move from order to disorder. You say, well, Pastor, you're not telling me anything new. I went on vacation for 2 weeks this summer. I came back. My garden was full of weeds. Somehow there was a dust in the house. I wasn't even there for 2 weeks. I had to come home. I had to dust. I had to vacuum. I had to wash things. Again, no one even lived there. Come on. Why is this happening? You maybe said to yourself, and a little bit humorous, but it is because of sin. Everything will now move from order to disorder. God's sustaining power is no longer present. You can't just set the cruise control and go down the road, right? I remember about 20 years ago, starting off in my ministry, there was a kind of the tragic story of a man and his wife. They bought a brand new motor home. You know, they paid a whole lot of money for it, even at that time. And he got in the motor home, and he's going down the road with his wife on their first vacation, and he set the cruise control, and he got up and went to make himself a cup of coffee. They couldn't understand why the motorhome crashed. And then the motorhome companies had to put warnings within their owner's manual saying that this was not a self-driving vehicle, that you couldn't just get up and go make yourself a cup of coffee while you're barreling down the road with the cruise control on. And yet, dear friends, sometimes we treat our lives just like that, don't we? We think that, wow, we live in this kind of nice bubble, and you know, everything has been so good. And for the most part, it's probably because you grew up in the church, right? You've been attending church since you were little, and you were in Sunday school. You were brought up in a Christian home. Your mom and dad worshiped the Lord. You know, things in your life probably were pretty good. You're in that nice bubble of protection that the Lord provides to his people, and you start to think that maybe that's the common way of the world. But I got to tell you today, it's not. Right? The common way of the world is that there is sin And the common ways of the world is that it moves from order to disorder. The common way of the world is that the people are in fact slaves of Satan. And oftentimes, you know, you and I don't think in those terms exactly anyway, but that is what the Bible says is going on. We might think, you know, oh, there's some good Christian people here, and yeah, there's a few people over here that worship Satan, you know, in secret in their basement or something like that. But in between, there's this big group of people that are just kind of okay, but they don't really know the Lord. But dear friends, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the only way that we can have freedom is if we know Christ. See, the only way that we can make any kind of decisions is if the Lord is with us. If we don't have God, then we are slaves of the evil one. We maybe don't like to think about it that way, but that's what the Bible says. What happened when you and I became children of God? We were released from that slavery. Your mom or dad, your grandma, your grandpa brought you forward for baptism, right? And the water was applied in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and you were freed from Satan's tyranny. Right. You then could make choices in your later life because you had freedom in Christ. Way back when I was in the United States Navy, I went on deployment and I was off on the other side of the world and I was in a remote location. We had a stand-in line back in that day to make phone calls. And so there's the little phone and you know, you're holding your place in line and, you know, you kind of want to, that person maybe to have some privacy or whatever, trying to be respectful, but you don't want to lose your place in the line, right? And so you've been there for a while, you're standing in line and of course you're not really trying to eavesdrop, but that other person is talking, they're just a few feet away from you. And this fellow in front of me on the phone, he's admitting to his wife that he's entered into an affair. He went, well, at least he's being honest. But he was telling his wife, you know, I can't help myself. You knew when you married me, I couldn't help myself. And that instance, those circumstances, it just really, you know, stuck in my mind. That's what the world is always saying, even today, isn't it? I can't help myself. People engage in all sorts of sins, right? They do all kinds of things contrary to the Word of God, and that is always the excuse that's given today, isn't it? I can't help myself. Well, guess what? If you are baptized, if you're a child of God, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you can help yourself. And yet, not you, right? But the Spirit of God living in you. Right? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Right? Faith, joy, peace, love, and finally, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It means if you really know God, if the Holy Spirit really lives in your heart, you can stop yourself from sinning. You can overcome adultery. You don't have to be the guy calling on the phone saying, oh, sorry, hon, I couldn't help myself. Because if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have self-control. You see, certainly, when Satan rules over you, right? When you're in a lost condition, when you're one of the people of this world that have rejected God, yeah, that. You can't help yourself because you're a slave. You're a slave of Satan. But when God frees you, right, when God sets you apart, when God makes you his child, you now have the ability to not do those things. The ability to follow after the Lord. See, that's the beautiful difference, isn't it? But the world, it's messed up. And the world, it's going into disorder. And the common state of people today is, yeah, they can't help themselves. They don't really want to. They don't even think the thing they're doing is a sin. Right? They want to justify themselves instead. They want to say, it's not my fault. And they want to just put in the cruise control and go through this life and think somehow their RV isn't going to be in a wreck. It's going to be all okay. And we know it's not, right? We look at the newspaper, we look at the internet, we see everything that's going wrong, and we say, Lord, I understand, probably. I live in a sinful world, right? A lot of people I know are committing sin. They have close family members that commit sin. That sin has an impact on my own life at times. We can understand it, can't we? But the gospel, of course, is that God so loved us that he set us free from sin and death and the power of the devil. You kind of remember those things from confirmation or Sunday school years ago, right? We are set free. As great as it would be if God just kind of purchased us and made us his employees, the Bible says he went a step further, doesn't it? He made us his children. And there's a difference in that, isn't there? You know, you might see a wealthy person come on television. He has big companies. He has thousands of employees. And he says, I love my employees. I have love for them. I love them. And it's a little bit different from when you and I say, you know, I love my kids. I love my son. I love my daughter. I love my children, right? It's a big difference, isn't it? And as great as it would be, you know, for God to have purchased us and given us a freedom and made us his workers, he went that extra step. He says, you know, you are my children. You're even more special to me than just some random employee out there in one of my companies. Right? You're mine. I love you. I want you to make it home. I want there to be good things for you. I want to help you when you're down, when you're having difficulties. I want to lift you back up again. I want to give to you a good life. But still, you and I, we live in a sinful world. And we run into difficulties. And so then what is our first response, perhaps, when something goes wrong in our lives? Do we go to God in prayer? Or do we pull out the MasterCard? Do we go to the Lord in prayer and repeatedly, and you know, do we learn some perseverance? Or I would like some of our friends and neighbors, oh, I prayed once and it didn't work, so I don't come to the church anymore. Now, the Lord in our scripture, especially for today, he wants to encourage us to always go to him in prayer and to have perseverance in that prayer. Right, of course, we pray in our Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And the Lord said we're supposed to pray that every day, right? Maybe even every hour. That, of course, God's perfect will is done in heaven, but we pray that it would be done here in our lives as well. Yes, we live in a fallen world, don't we? Everything is going wrong. If God isn't with us, we're slaves of Satan. Things are terrible. How can I get through that?
I need to pray to my God. I need to pray all the time. I need to pray continuously. Right? That's what the Bible tells us. That we would be those who pray. And so how should we pray? We should pray just like the lesson teaches us today. I don't know if it really hit home for you, but you know, here in this dear woman, she's from a foreign country. She's not of the nation of Israel. And in fact, the nation of Israel would look at her and her kin and would say, "No, you are dogs. You people are dogs. We're the chosen. You're a dog." And somehow she has learned of Jesus' miraculous power. She has a great need. The Bible says that her daughter is possessed by demons. Right? It's hard to imagine a greater need than that. It's not just that she's physically disabled, or you know, she needs some special surgery, and I don't have the money. You know, but her mind is just basically being ruined because of demonic activity. It's a terrible situation. She comes, you know, to Jesus. She's heard, perhaps from a friend, that Jesus can help me. If I can just go to him, if I can just get Jesus, you know, to touch my daughter, speak some words, it's going to be okay. Have you ever been in a kind of desperate situation with one of your own kids, perhaps? A loved one, someone close to you? And, you know, you're at your wit's end and you don't quite know what to do. And this dear woman, she knew where to go. She goes to Jesus. And we maybe don't know this at first, but, you know, Jesus wants to teach us about perseverance. And so he acts in some ways that we would say, well, that doesn't seem like Jesus. That doesn't seem like him. What's going on? But she comes, and Jesus ignores her. He doesn't even respond. He doesn't even speak back to her at first. And so she's crying out, "Lord, help me. Lord, do something. Lord, I need you. Lord, can I get your attention here? Please, you know, look at me. Read my lips." And he's ignoring her. And the disciples are kind of standing around going, well, you know, she's a Samaritan, you know, kind of a dog, you know. And they start whispering, "Lord, you know, this is really annoying. This woman keeps, you know, crying after us, and you know, it's kind of drawing unwanted attention. And why don't you just tell her to go away? You know, I know you don't really want to talk to her, and you're not really going to help her, but can you just get her to leave, because her voice is hitting on my nerves. You know, that shrill, you know, yapping like a little dog, you know, it's just irritating me. God, Lord." That's what the disciples were doing. And still the woman perseveres, so doesn't she? As she's being ignored by this group, these people she thought would help her, and they're not paying any attention, and Jesus won't even speak to her directly, right? And she perseveres. She keeps asking, "Lord, I need you. Lord, can you help me?" Finally, our Lord returns to her, and we say, "Oh, yes, you know, Jesus, full of compassion. My lover of my soul, Jesus, of course, you know, he's going to take action now." You know, but what does he do? He basically called her outright a dog, didn't he? Now, okay, you say, well, he didn't say that actually, but he made the analogy, didn't he? He said, you know what? Who would take the children's food and give it to a little dog? Now, what kind of father would you take food off your child's plate and give it to the dog? Who would do that? Yeah, he called her a dog. But you know what? She was really quick. Right? She shot right back and she said, yes, but even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Lord, you're the one that can help me. Lord, I know if I just persevere enough, you can come through for me. Lord, even though you treat me seemingly bad, I still need you. And so she was rewarded, wasn't she? Right? And I you know, personally believe that Jesus just used this example to be able to show us what true perseverance looks like. I think he just was kind of smiling to himself through this whole interaction. And now he comes to the place where he says, you know, big smile on his face, great is your faith. And her daughter was healed instantly. It was because of this poor, dear woman persevered through many obstacles in order to continue to ask Jesus for help. How often has it been, perhaps, that you and I have failed? You know, there was some need, there was something that we had to have happen. We went to the Lord in prayer, but the answer seemed to come back no right away, and we just kind of threw up our hands and gave up. Or maybe today, like I said earlier, you know, we had our MasterCard, our Visa, our Discover, and you know, some kind of catastrophe came upon us, and you know, we just whipped out the plastic and said, hey, it's going to be okay. It'll be fine. I got it. It's kind of the American way, though, isn't it? We're taught to be, you know, self-assured. We're taught really to take care of ourselves, to handle our own problems. And, you know, someone comes and asks you, how are you? And you right away just say, oh, I'm fine. I'm perfect. Oh, things are going so well.
I'm not going to mention my uncle in California that's selling drugs and kind of bringing the family down.
I don't want to talk about that guy. You know, I don't want to share any real problems that I have because I'm okay. Everything is good. I can't handle it. And God says, you know, through our personal experience, really, no, I can't. I can't handle it. Our things are falling apart. There's so much sin in the world and it's impacting my life. I don't know where to go. How can I make it through? And John says, call on me. Call on me repeatedly. In this world where there's so much sin, you need to keep asking. In this world where so many things are going off, you need to ask me every day that my will could come through in this world. You need to persevere. You need to come to that place in your faith where even though you feel like God Himself is ignoring you, you keep praying. You need to be able to even take that next step where you feel like God has called you a little dog and you're going to keep on going and praying to Him and asking for His favor. Where you have come to the place where you have perseverance.
Perseverance is never fun, is it? Right? If perseverance was easy, everybody would do it. There'd just, you know, be like, you know, 1% of the people out there can't persevere. So I'm only speaking to 1% of the people today. Right?
It's not ever easy. Right? That you have to keep going and the circumstances are terrible and you're just maybe knocking your head against that wall over and over and it's really difficult. But the Lord is asking of us today that would be our And we keep going to him. And we keep asking. But we're begging even at times. It seems like he's not listening, but we continue. It even seems like God is calling me names. He's disrespecting me. I keep having faith, and I keep on going. I have that faith because I know Jesus Christ died for me. I have that faith because God says of me, I am his child. Not just a worker. Not a slave. His kid. His child, his son, his daughter. He loves me so very much. He's going to be there for me. He wants to take care of me. He wants me to have some good things. He wants me to be able to be successful. He desires for my prayers to be heard and answered. He just wants me to develop a little backbone.
That's what we want for our own kids as well, isn't it? No, but you just gave our kids everything that they ever wanted, everything that they ever asked for. They've kind of spoiled, right? And you know, we joke amongst ourselves that, okay, well, I've raised my kids good, but now I've spoiled my grandchildren. So let's say that, right? I hear people say that. As a parent, maybe that's kind of what we would like to be able to do, but we realize, you know, that they needed to develop some backbone, right? That they needed to not just be given everything that they ever wanted, but rather they needed to earn it sometimes. They needed to do some work. They needed to develop perseverance. Maybe there was a time even like Jesus when you were kind of hard. And you didn't really answer right away. And they kept asking. And you maybe even made fun of your own kids to get the point across. But still, they persevered. And that's all God is asking of us. He asked of Peter three times, do you love me? You love the Lord? Will you go to him first during trying circumstances? Will you be the one that can persevere even though the answer seemingly is nothing but time? Will you keep on praying for your uncle out in California that's selling drugs that you don't want to tell anybody about? Because you know that prayer can be and even if you feel like God is saying you're a little dog, will you keep going? Will you ask him yet one more time, Lord, can you help me? Lord, will you come through for me? Will you remind him, Lord, I'm your child. I need this. Lord, I'm dying here. Can you come through? Lord, please do it for me. Your simple, heartfelt prayers will be answered by our Lord God, who loves you so very much. He didn't even spare his own son, but he sent him into this world to open the way to heaven. To open the way for you to talk with God one-on-one. For you to be sons and daughters. Amen.
And may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be in your hearts and minds now and always. Amen.